What's up, Freedom Church? Good morning, everyone. So excited you joined us on this Daylight Savings Time Sunday. You came to 11 o'clock, so you're like, I got to sleep in. I didn't lose my hour. 9 o'clock, they were a little sleepy still, so I'm excited to see you all full of energy and excitement. If I haven't had the privilege of meeting you yet, my name's Pastor Eric. I'm the lead pastor here of Freedom Church. And this is our second Sunday of having services as Freedom Church. So let's give God a hand. So exciting. Launching last Sunday. If you missed last Sunday, you can always go and watch online on our website, YouTube. And just want to shout out to everyone watching at home or wherever you are traveling. We always have the 11 a.m. live streamed so we can help get the word out to more people, more places, and you never have to miss church with us. But as I said, today we're going to be jumping into our foundation series as we start off last week, talking about who Freedom Church is, really some values, what we believe, what we stand for. We're also going to take some time these first several weeks to share a little bit about myself. You're actually going to hear from my wife, Rachel, who was up on the keyboard a little bit ago. She's going to share a short testimony and some practical things for you as well. And we want to get to know you. We want to meet you. If I haven't met you yet, I'd love to get to see you after service today. But Freedom Church is a life-giving church where people will know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make an impact. That's what we exist for. That's what we're intending to do. That's why Freedom Church is here in Murraysville. We want people to know God, as we talked about last Sunday, to know God in a real and personal way. God's not just this big guy in the sky. He's not just an ethereal thing, but he wants to have a real and personal relationship with each and every one of you. As a loving, perfect father, he wants to know you. He wants you to know him, not just know about him. Today, we're going to talk about how to find freedom. You found Freedom Church, but now we want you to find freedom that comes from knowing who Jesus is, knowing how to find freedom, how to stay free, and then how to really help other people find freedom as well, which will kind of lead into next week with the Discover Purpose, and then the following week, how do we make an impact in other people's lives? How many of you want to make an impact in somebody's life? You want to help them for the positive, right? For the kingdom of God. Well, to find freedom, discover purpose, make an impact, we have to know who God is. So it all begins with a relationship with God. So I'm going to be unpacking a little bit of that today as well. But for our starting verse, John chapter 8, verse 36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." We sang that in one of the songs a little bit ago, that the Son sets you free. And what that means is Jesus, as the Son, is the one who sets you free. Now, that word free, it means to be liberated, to be set free from bondage, from being held back, liberated from captivity. So have any of you ever been in a prison? No, I won't have raise the hands. But some people maybe in the room have been in a prison cell before, and getting set free is a great feeling. I mean, let me tell you, getting out of a physical bondage or physical prison cell is a very good feeling. But spiritually set free is so much better. There's so much more to celebrate. There's so much. It's so liberating. It's so life-giving when we get set free from our past, set free from our sins, set free from bad lifestyles and choices that we're making. And it's if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Meaning that once you get set free by Jesus, you don't have to keep trying to earn anything from God. He's already done the work. He's already opened the prison door. He's already said, go be free. And the problem is we like to step back into that prison cell where it's comfortable or where we're familiar, right? Instead, he's saying, I want you to be free. And the whole message is helping you find freedom, to know that in Jesus, in Christ, you can be set free and live a life of freedom, to truly live free. But with that also comes that it's not just a one and done. You know, there's a moment, I believe we have salvation. God is drawing us to himself. The Holy Spirit is doing a work in us. And we can truly be saved in a moment. But at the same time, there's a lifelong process of being saved, of working out our salvation, of trying to understand how do we live our lives as followers of Jesus because of what he has done for each and every one of us. So that process in Philippians 1, verse 6, Paul says it this way. He says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. How many of you know you're a work in progress? every single one of us is a work in progress. Yes, we're not who we used to be. Hopefully, and if you've, this is your first time in the church, you're in the right place because God's going to help you become something that you've never maybe thought you could be before. We see throughout the Bible is whenever somebody met Jesus, they were different afterwards. Jesus never met somebody and they didn't get changed afterwards, except for the people who thought they had it all together. When people come to Jesus and they're truly, genuinely seeking to know truth, to know him, he changes you. He renews you. He makes you alive again. That's what I believe this verse and so many others of the Bible are teaching us, that God is at work and that this is not the best, it's not as good as it's going to get for you. God is still doing a good work within you. Being made into the image of God is a process, right? It takes a lifelong process of being sanctified, to be made holy as God is holy. Over and over, God actually speaks in Leviticus and in 1 Peter. Peter's repeating and copying, quoting from Leviticus, that he says, "Be holy as I am holy." Now, how many of you know God is holy? And how many of you know we are not holy? Right? There's a difference. However, when his spirit is within us, and why would God tell us to be holy as he is holy if we can never be holy? And being holy is to be set apart, to be perfect, to be pure. The only way we can be holy is to have the Spirit of God within us, to have the blood of Jesus that covers us, that's what makes us holy. And many Christians, I find, are very good people, well-meaning, moral. They don't break many laws except for speeding maybe a little bit here and there. Right? In generality, most Christians, most of you are really good people, but we're operating our Christian life out of our personality more than our spirituality, more than letting the Spirit of God lead us and determine our steps. We often go, well, that's not my personality, or that's not the way I was wired, or I'm introverted, or I'm extroverted, or I'm this personality. And we live out of our personality rather than what does the Spirit of God living in you ask of you and direct you and guide you. And that's really what we're going to talk about, is how does the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, guide our lives, direct our steps, and that we can follow him to truly find freedom. So Galatians chapter 5, and this is going to be the bulk of our text today, is Paul writing to the church in Galatia, the Christians at the time. He's writing this letter to them, and many people don't realize the Bible is mostly letters that were written, compiled together, what we call books, that make up this one book called the Bible. 66 books all together. Galatians is one book, which is actually a letter that the Apostle Paul was writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, giving these instructions, and they apply to us as well today. He says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." And this wording of letting the Holy Spirit guide your lives, it's to guide you on, to keep you on track, to keep you going in the right direction. He goes, "And with the Holy Spirit guiding your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions." Let me ask, how many of you have ever done something you didn't want to do? Anybody? Okay, half of you are honest. But how many of you have ever done something that you knew you shouldn't do, but you did it anyways? Right? Part of that's the wrestling and battling within us. And how many of you have ever tried dieting? Right? Anybody ever tried dieting? Most of you are like, "No, I gave that up a long time ago." But then you're on a diet. You're like, "I'm doing well. I'm eating right. I had a good weekend." And you show up on Monday and someone brings in donuts. And you're like, "Come on." Right? And in the natural, you're like, "I'm trying to do well. I'm trying to eat right. I'm trying to exercise. I'm trying to be healthy. But man, there's these donuts and they got my favorite kind." And then you go, "Maybe I'll just try a half. Maybe I'll have like a half of one and a half of another. It's not that bad." And before you know it, the whole thing's gone and you're no longer on the diet, right? You just give up trying completely. Very similarly, in the natural, we have these desires and these temptations, these things that come against us. Spiritually, we have a sinful nature and we have a spiritual nature. That God himself, his Spirit, when we truly are following Jesus and trying to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit within us is trying to guide us and help us in our walk. But yet all this stuff in the natural, these sinful things keep creeping up, and we have to choose, Are we going to stay the course with the Spirit, or are we going to allow our flesh and our natural selves, our sinful nature, and give into that? So which one are we going to feed? Feed the Spirit of God within us, or feed our sinful nature? And this internal battle, you know, it's not, I want to be very clear that God and Satan himself are not equal in power. God created Satan. The creator is greater than the created. That there's nothing on this earth that compares to the power and ability that God has. But in us, we have this internal battle. It is like the little demon and the little angel on our shoulders, like trying to help us. And one's trying to distract, one's trying to help. But that's an internal battle within us, that which one are we going to feed determines what results we have in our lives. And even though we have good intentions, Paul says, you're not free to carry out your good intentions. I believe every single one of you have good intentions, right? You want to do well. You want to be good. You want to help people. Most of you raise your hand. You want to make an impact in other people's lives, right? And he says, you're not free to carry out your good intentions, because good intentions, especially in our human minds and our human reasoning, leads to us, well, I really mean well, but I'm not going to do anything well. And it becomes just intention rather than action. If any of you have kids and your kids said, well, I plan to clean up my room, but then they never do. Did they obey or did they not obey? Right? They didn't obey, right? And it's not just about obedience, because there's these tensions that we live in where on one side, I kind of picture it like this road. On one side of the road, there's this thing called legalism, where it becomes a lot of religion, a lot of works, a lot of do good, pray certain prayers, repetitious prayers. You got to follow the steps. You have to go to church. You have to pray this prayer. You have to do, and you get all the check marks, and you feel really good about yourself. And those things are all good, but those things cannot ever replace what the Spirit of God can do in your life. But the other side of that road is what I call lawlessness, where because you've been forgiven, because Jesus' blood was shed for you, you can just go on and sin all you want. Do whatever you feels good. Do whatever you think is right. Your truth is your truth. And that leads to lawlessness. That leads to everyone leading, walking astray, fulfilling their sinful nature rather than the Spirit of God. So neither legalism nor lawlessness actually is the path that we're supposed to walk. And it's not a mix of both. It's actually a higher road that we walk, this walk called the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of love. That God's path, his Spirit, guides us in our lives, so we don't live in legalism, we don't live in lawlessness, but we can truly know the love of God, his mercy and his grace, that because he died, we want to do the good things that lead to legalism at times if you get too far. But we know we're forgiven when we do stumble. We know we are, his grace and his mercy is enough to cover us when we make mistakes, because we're not going to be perfect. He continues in verse 18. Again, he says the Holy Spirit guides your life, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. A second time, he uses this word directed. He says it's as if the meaning of the word is he's taking you from one place to another place. He's directing you, not just from here to there, but from not just from something, but to something. You're not just saved from hell. You're not just saved from your sins. You're not saved just from your past, but you're saved to something. That God, the Spirit of God, wants to direct you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. He wants to direct you out of a life of death and destruction into a life that is life-giving and full of him. He wants to pull you out of something bad and put you into something good. That's the Spirit of God directing you, not restricting you, not holding things back, but actually opening up so much more for you to experience. You know, people think grace is something that grace means you can't do something. That's actually a lie. Grace is so that you can do something. Christianity isn't just rules and religion and holding you back. It's actually grace to say you don't have to do those things anymore. You don't have to live that lifestyle. There's a better way. There's a more profitable way, a more effective way, of something that's going to actually bring life within you. And not profit for finances, but profit for blessing and benefiting other people around you. That's the way that the Holy Spirit wants us to direct us, to guide us, to lead us in our lives. He says, when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. Now, he doesn't say you should just be lawlessness. You should just go do whatever you want. No, the law of Moses is actually still good. Like, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not, all the commandments and the Mosaic law, they're still good laws and good rules. But he's saying you're not under the obligation of the law of Moses to earn favor with God, to earn God's love. He's already done it. Jesus has already done the work for you. But he gives this explanation. He says, this is what's going to happen. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. He lists out these sins, and it's a pretty extensive list, but it's not all-encompassing, because he says there's other sins like these. Paul was not afraid to call out sin. We today, in 2026, if there ever was a time, we need to be very clear and still helping to call out sin. Say it, call it what it is. Not shying away from the truth. I believe one of the most loving things you can do is to speak truth in love. Not truth to condemn, not truth to beat somebody up. Because Jesus himself said, I came not to condemn, but to set the world free. So how are we to ever condemn somebody else, but we speak truth to people? We don't lie to people. We don't let them go on living a lifestyle. Now, there's equity and relationship and a lot of those things, but ultimately, these sins that are listed are for us to look at ourselves as well. Are we doing an introspective and reflective look at how we are each living our lives? He says these things, people who live this lifestyle, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, sins don't disqualify you from heaven because those are your things, things you choose to do. However, living a lifestyle, it's as if, he says, you're going to feed your sinful nature so much, you're going to do the opposite of what the Spirit of God says. Why would you be close to God? Why would you inherit the kingdom of God? Because ultimately what sin does is separates us from God. So this not inheriting the kingdom of God is a separation from God. When we don't desire to feed the Spirit of God within us, but instead desire to feed our sinful nature, why would we feel close to God? Why would God want to be close to us? Would be a great question to ask. Instead, Paul lists out all these things. If you do these things, you live this lifestyle, this is what's going to happen. You'll be separated from God. But, in verse 22, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says, there is no law against these things. There's no law. You can't have too much of the fruit of the Spirit. Even in the natural, you can have too much fruit. You can have too much water. You can have too much of good things here on earth. But in the Spirit, he says, the Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. These virtues, these nine virtues that we can live our lives by. You can't have too much. You can't have too much love. You can't have too much joy. You can't have too much peace. Now, some of you are probably like, there's that one girl at work. She is so happy all the time. Like, that's a little too much. But reality is you can't have too much of the fruit that is produced by the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. Now, contrast that with the list of sins that he listed out. Any one of those is too much. Like, I know none of you would want to eat brownies that had a little dog doo-doo in it, right? Now, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Is that okay? But why do we treat our sin any different? We say, well, it's just a little sin. Well, I'm only hurting myself. Well, I'm only looking at stuff on by myself in the dark of night. Or I'm only doing this thing privately. It's not like I'm killing anybody. And we justify our sin. And we think that just a little bit's okay, as long as we don't go too far. Instead of having a little bit is still too much. And again, the same breath, none of us are perfect. There's always that mercy, always that grace that brings us back into a right relationship with God, that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Now, many people would say, you know, the big, powerful demonstrations of God, the miracles, raising the dead, physical healings, those types of things, those are powerful. But why don't we see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness? Why don't we see that as powerful? When someone cuts you off in traffic and you choose not to lay on your horn and give them the one-finger salute, like, that's called self-control. That's called, you know what? Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe they do deserve to get a ticket, but we choose to be under self-control, God control of ourselves. That these evidence, this fruit of the Holy Spirit is just as powerful when we walk it out, when we allow the Holy Spirit to produce this fruit in us. In verse 24, he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Three times Paul uses this language, that the Spirit of God guides us, that he's directing us. And here he says, when we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading. Holy Spirit is not your co-pilot. Jesus is not the co-pilot. He should be in the driver's seat, leading, directing, and guiding your life. We follow Jesus, not go on our own way and say, Jesus, would you bless it? Big difference in how we view our walk with God. Many times we say we want to make our plans, and then we pray, God, would you bless my plans? Instead, start with saying, God, what's your plan? What's your direction? What's my next step that I should be taking? And he guides your steps. The word says in Psalm 119 that the word is like a lamp to our feet. He doesn't give you the 20 steps ahead. He gives you the lamp to your feet to take your next step, to take your next step, to follow him. And if you get too far behind, it's really hard to follow somebody. So we keep following in step with him. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross. Jesus was physically nailed to a wooden cross with metal spikes through his wrists, through his feet, nailed to a cross. That's where our sinful nature and all the desires of our sinful nature were nailed when Jesus was put on that cross. When the enemy thought he had won, Jesus was just getting started. He split the veil in two. He made a way for us to enter heaven. That Jesus was nailed to the cross just for the sake of all of our sins and our sinful nature. So when we want to pick up our sins, we want to go back to a sinful nature, what we're doing is we're putting Jesus back on the cross in some sense of that wasn't enough. We want to go back to something that we should have left but in our past. We should have left dead and where it was. But following the Spirit's leading in every part of our life and all the fruit of the Spirit, it's not for just for us to receive. You know, if you think about a tree, a fruit tree, many different fruit trees, how do you identify a tree? It's by its fruit. But a fruit tree doesn't eat the fruit that it produces. That fruit is meant to benefit and be a blessing to others, to feed others, to spread seed, to plant new trees. Likewise, the Spirit of God produces fruit in us, not so that we can receive something good, but so that we can give to others, so that we can be a blessing to others, so that we can benefit other people. Freedom is not just so that we can live free, but we use our freedom to set other people free as well. And I want to share a story of freedom. My wife Rachel is actually going to come up and share part of her testimony and give some practicals of how do we find freedom. So she's going to take it over now. Let's welcome Rachel.
Thanks. Hi, everybody. It's such an honor to share. I just can't believe that the Lord would use us to lead us people here in this area, knowing our stories, knowing our backgrounds. And you'll get to know me here as I share a little bit about my story. 2 Corinthians, Paul, he says, so now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. And that's my prayer this morning. I'm excited to brag on God. Amen. So my story, I'm going to start it at age 7 because that's when I accepted Christ. He became real to me. I understood the salvation message. I understood the gospel. And I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And that was in kids ministry. So shameless plug for those of you that are working in kids. You're making an eternal impact in the kids' lives. Amen. So I knew the Bible. I started memorizing scripture. I knew the stories. And really, as I was in the church, I got to see what it looked like for people to live their lives for Jesus. So I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful to my parents who raised me in the church, who brought me week after week, and I got to experience what that looked like. It was so foundational for my life and being able to move forward. So then I'm going to fast forward a whole bunch of years to the summer before going into college. I met someone who I had previously known. He was super cute. He was a soccer player just like me. He showed himself to love the Lord. He was in the same area where I was going to school and state college at Penn State. So win-win, check, check, check. I was like, okay, this is great. We started dating. And then a couple years later, when I was still in school, we got married. And there were some red flags as we were dating. So I saw things that was like, okay, this isn't right. This isn't good. But Lord, I know you can transform. I know that I can help. All these different things that I was seeing and sensing, but just kind of pushed off to the side. And I did end up deciding to get married anyways. And during that time period, I would eat and my stomach would stop digesting food well. And so I would get sick. And it was super frustrating. I was trying to figure out what was going on. But it kept happening over and over again, and it would get worse. So I would eat, I would get sick, and then this unintentional sickness turned into intentional. And it became an eating disorder that was started to take over my life. So I would go through periods of starving myself. I would eat, I would throw up, I would overexercise. It was ugly. Sin is ugly, right? And so I started into this eating disorder behaviors, and I wasn't telling anybody what was happening. And I didn't tell anybody what was happening in my marriage after we got married. When some of the emotional and the mental abuse started, I wasn't sharing what was happening, keeping everything a secret. So there was so much shame that started in my life that just kept cycling. So the hiding and the lying and the shame was just totally overwhelming. And then so it was only 2 months after we got married that I found him on my computer and realized that he had a horrible pornography addiction. And at that point, it was like something switched and the abuse just got way worse. So now it wasn't just emotional and mental abuse, it became physical and sexual abuse as well. And it got really ugly, it got really bad. And the more abuse that I was in, the more that I was going to eating disorder behaviors to try to cope. The feelings of not being comforted. So I would act out in these eating disorder behaviors to try to feel some sort of comfort and some sort of control. And I would think, I will stop tomorrow. You know, I can handle this. I'll just stop tomorrow. And then tomorrow would come, and I couldn't. Because the addiction that I was in was just so overwhelming and had total control over me. What is it? Sin takes you farther than you want to stay, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you want to pay, right? And that's what I was experiencing. I was stuck in this bondage. And the shame that I was feeling was so overwhelming, and it was just fueling everything that I was doing. So somehow I did really well in school. I graduated, and I wanted to be a physical therapist, so I had applied to North Georgia University and was excited to be able to start fresh. I hated the Pittsburgh weather, anybody with me, and wanted to go down to Sunshine in Georgia, thinking, okay, we can start fresh. This will be a brand new start, and I was excited to start into my doctorate program. Well, the abuse just got worse. We didn't know anybody down there. We were even more isolated, and so what I thought couldn't get any worse got worse, and I became super suicidal. I did not want to live anymore. I was having, my body was falling apart. I was to the point where it was hard to go up and down stairs, and just didn't want to live anymore. I didn't want to be in that marriage. I didn't want to be alive at all. And I remember one time I was sitting on my couch, and I prayed to the Lord and said, God, like, I either need out of this, you have to do some type of miracle, or I just want to be done. And it was shortly after that, that it was a snowy day in Georgia. Who knew? It snows in Atlanta. And I got locked out of the house, which wasn't super uncommon. So locked out in the snow, and it's a total God story of how I got rescued out. There was a neighbor that was actually home, which he normally wasn't home. Emailed a friend who was in one of my classes that I barely knew. She answered the email right away. She came to get me, and I opened up and I shared with my parents when I called them, and I said, I need help. I need you to come get me. And I was to that point where I wanted to be out. I wanted to be rescued. And so my dad drove all the way from Pittsburgh to Atlanta overnight to come rescue me out of that. Thank you, Lord, right? So I was home with my parents, but I was still stuck in so much shame, still majorly stuck in the eating disorder behaviors. So I was home. We figured out how to file for a protection order. Is this acceptable to get a divorce? So went through the divorce process, and he was completely out of my life after that. So this addiction that I was in was still taking over my life. I was having a hard time keeping a job. Friendships were broken. I was doing a lot of hurtful things because I was in addiction. So my life did not look very good at that time. And after months of slowly sharing the things that had happened to me, I really said, okay, I need some help. And so I traveled the country for years from 2010 to 2014. I was in multiple different treatment facilities to try to get help. It was very much like prison, being locked in a facility for a while. But I was searching for freedom. I was searching for deliverance. And I would go to all of the healing and deliverance ministries because I started getting back into the church. So going to all the prayer meetings, going to deliverance ministry time, being a part of Celebrate Recovery, the 12-step program, went through that. And there was a time specifically that I remember where someone prayed over me. It was a deliverance prayer, and I literally felt the chains fall off of me. It was such an amazing feeling, like, oh my goodness, this is what it feels like to be free. And I stayed in that freedom for a while, and then I relapsed. And when I relapsed, I realized I'm literally just putting these chains back on me. Like, my eating disorder behaviors right now aren't even working. This is so frustrating that I would go back into those behaviors when it wasn't doing anything for me. So I was improving. The Lord was helping me. He was revealing things to me. And I would have these times of recovery and then relapse. I didn't have any more PTSD. The Lord had taken that away from me. I didn't have any more nightmares that were affecting the rest of my day. And through that, I realized that I had been blaming God for what I had went through when I realized I needed to be blaming the enemy. The enemy was the one who was condemning me. The enemy was the one who was trying to steal, kill, and destroy my life. But God was there that whole time, and he was the protector, and he was helping me, and he had saved me, and he had rescued me, and I was understanding my identity in him, and that was really helping to set me free. So a couple years later, 2016, I meet this handsome guy right here. And that's just another total God story of how he placed us together and brought us together. But once we were together and realized the love of Christ through him, the way that he was loving me, the way that he continued to show love even when I was messing up and screwing up and felt so much shame, he just kept pouring out love and that continual love. And the building of trust really helped me to get free as well. And it was during that time, it was about a year after we got married, so our first year of marriage wasn't exactly the best. It was pretty rocky, because I was still somewhat in and out of eating disorder behaviors. But we had always wanted to have children. And I remember one day I was praying to the Lord, and I said, God, let this be the day that I don't have any more eating disorder behaviors, because I know that if I continue this, we're not going to be able to have kids. And ever since that moment, ever since that prayer, I have been completely free from eating disorder behaviors. Like, not just dry drunk, kind of getting through life, trying to muster up the strength, but like completely free. Do not have any urges or desires to go back into that lifestyle. And like, I can only give God the praise for that. So totally free from that point. And, you know, one of the things I'll add is that I really had done some damage to my body, but even in that, the Lord was so gracious and he restored my body. And after 4 years, 4 years of waiting for children, the Lord gave us Judah. And now we have two other girls, one on the way. So, the Lord was totally so gracious and just helped to restore even that. So I want to give some practicals of what I can see from my story that really helps me to be free. One, I kept putting myself in places for healing. So I just kept searching. I kept putting myself in those places where there was possibility for hearing truth, where there was possibility for receiving freedom. And I stopped going out. I stopped drinking. I stopped going to the bars. I stopped hanging out with those friends that were pulling me away, which is my second point. I surrounded myself with people who could help. And I think, you know, that's a huge part of why we started Freedom Church, is that realizing the church is the hope of the world. Amen. When we come together and we're operating in the gifts that God has given us, and when we can use our stories to share, we can bring freedom and life to people who come in these doors and into our communities. So I was a part of Bible study groups that were helping me. I had intentional Christian friends that I knew that I could be open and honest with, which is so key. In my story, if I hadn't been open and honest, I would not be where I am today. You know, Scripture says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. It's so true. We have to confess. We have to be open. We have to be honest with what's going on in our lives. And then medication and Christian counseling, too. The Lord used that for a season. I can say I was on medication that really helped me to get out of major depression and anxiety. And thankfully, I actually am not on any medications at all anymore. No need for that. So I'm very excited about that. But I do know that the Lord used that for a time, as well as Christian counseling, to be able to receive freedom. And then the last point that I have that I'm most excited about is just getting excited about being in the Word, being in the Bible. The more that I was in the Word and allowing the words to renew my mind, you know, Scripture talks about transforming our thoughts, transforming our minds. It's so true. I would realize that I didn't have to live in shame, that the enemy was condemning me, but the Holy Spirit was, he was convicting me and drawing me closer to him. Things like that, that were helping me to be able to step forward and to walk in freedom. So now I get to live my life to give back. Do I have more freedom to come? Yes, in a lot of different ways, but I'm just excited to be able to share my story and to be able to live my life for Christ. So thanks for letting me share.
Amen. What a great, great testimony. And I mean, just being with her for the last 10 plus years, getting to hear so much she could share. I just want to say Rachel has done the work, but it's ultimately the Spirit of God who sets us free. And now she uses her life to minister to women. She uses it to minister at different ministries all over the place to help women especially get freedom and get out of addiction, get free from their past and their shame. And that freedom is available to each of you. That every one of us, I believe, can grow and have experienced more freedom in Christ. There's a quote from Chris Hodges, who teaches and he's been the leader of Church of the Highlands, now at Highlands College. He says, temptation is a test of your relationship, not your self-control. That finding freedom is not how good you are. It's not about how hard you work. Yet there is work for us to do. There are things that we can do to help ourselves. But ultimately, temptation, when it comes, it's a test of your relationship with God. The same applies in your marriage. And when temptation comes, if your marriage is not good, you're more likely to fall to temptation. But when you love God so much and you're pursuing God, then sin isn't really a bother to you anymore. It's like, why would I dabble in that when I have something so good, the fruit of that Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God? Sin is just, it's disgusting at that point. You lose your taste for the things of this world when you're truly walking with God. One of the problems I believe we do is we focus too much on not sinning. We forget to focus on our relationship with God. Focus on the life. Focus on what's positive. Focus on what God is giving us rather than what we're not supposed to do. Just a kind of a funny story that several years ago when my wife and I were early in our relationship, she's a phenomenal swimmer. I would say she swims like a fish. I don't. I sink. So it's the opposite there. But she's trying to help me swim one day. And we get in the pool, the Y, and she goes, just swim down to the back, go down and back one time, and I'll see how you're doing. So I'm swimming, well, you call it swimming. I was moving in the water, making a lot of motion. I get to the end of the pool, I come back, and I get to the edge of the pool, and I'm like, just barely breathing. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying not to drown. And she's like, why don't you focus on breathing, not on the water? And it was like God spoke in that moment of, I'm trying so hard to fight the water, to not drown, to not die. Instead of having my head lifted up, my eyes, where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. Having my eyes fixed on God rather than not sinning. And I believe that's going to be something that sets some people free to stop focusing so much on not sinning and start focusing on the God who's paid for your sin, who wants you to live in freedom, who wants you to find freedom by knowing him and living a life of freedom in Christ. Would you please stand to your feet if you're able to? I want to pray for you before we close today. And I believe every single one of us in the room, we can experience more freedom. Right, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That every one of us can have more freedom because there's more of God to be had. There's more of his Spirit in us and through us and in his presence. So I just want to pray, if you're here today and you say, I just want more freedom, I want to find that next level of freedom for my life, just to lift up your hands, open your hands, just as a posture saying, yes, God, I want more of you, and I want to pray a blessing on you. Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person here who wants more freedom. God, we all can acquire more freedom in our lives. We can obtain more of you, God. We can know more about you. God, we can know you in a more real and personal way. So, Father, I pray that your freedom, the true freedom that comes from when the Son sets us free, that true spiritual liberation, the kind that Rachel was sharing about, that the thoughts and the feelings and the lifestyle that she used to live don't even come into her mind anymore, that she understands and lives now a life spiritually free, physically free, mentally free. God, you want more freedom for us, God. And I pray that we, each and every one of us, would walk in a greater level of freedom so that we'd use our freedom to help others get set free as well. In the same moment, if you're here today and you don't know how you can get set free, you don't know God in a real and personal way, I'm inviting you to make the decision to say yes to him, to know God the Father because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Through the empowering, the grace of the Holy Spirit, you can know God. And when you know God, you can know that he is more than enough to pay for your sins. Maybe you're facing addiction right now. Maybe you're dealing with some bad habits that just keep creeping up in your life. I want to pray for you. I pray right now, Father, that you would bring freedom to each and every person who's dealing with addiction, who's dealing with depression, suicidal thoughts, anxiety, unworthiness, shame, guilt, whatever it is, Father, I pray that you would break off the chains and bondage of addiction. You'd break off the lies and the false identities that people have been carrying around for far too long. God, that you would break off every evil, lying thought that people are having right now or even have been having. God, that you would bring freedom to your people. That Jesus, you, what you did on the cross was more than enough to pay for our sins, to remove our sins as far as the east is from the west, to renew us, to wash us as clean and white as wool. Father, I pray your washing, your Spirit right now would move on each and every person's heart as we say yes to you. We want to say yes to feeding the Spirit of God within us, not our sinful nature. And God, that we'd use our freedom from this moment forward to help other people get set free. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Well, let's give God a great big hand. Celebrate what he does and who he is. You can be seated. I actually invite everyone at this time, if you have your cell phone, you can actually hold that to the connection, to the tap card on the back of the seat in front of you. You can fill out a connection card on there. You can also fill out a form that says, I want to give my life to Jesus. If you want to begin a relationship with God, or you want to find out more information about what does that mean, fill out that form through that tap card. That's the best way to do it. Use your phone. You can scan that QR code, fill out the form. You can also sign up for baptism, as you're going to hear about in just a few moments. That's a great way to connect with us so we can keep you connected with what God is doing right here at Freedom Church. At this time, Sly's going to come on up and close us out with a few announcements and opportunities.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Hey, I just want to acknowledge Pastor Eric and Miss Rachel. Thank you so much for bragging on God through your message and also through your testimony. That was absolutely incredible, because I once heard it said that strongholds or idols, they ask for nothing and give you everything, right? And by the end, they take everything from you and ask for nothing. And so you can stay there. It's easy to stay there for a long time and to go into your own sustainability and your own fortitude. But eventually you come to an end where you become into a pit. You become into being bound to that. And so thank the Lord for their stories today. Thank the Lord for the truth that sets us free. And telling our truths can set other people free. So I'm really compelled and encouraged by the story today. And if you're here today, I'm just so thankful that you are present today. Because If you can be reminded of finding freedom, it's a beautiful thing to find. It's a beautiful thing to think about. But also there's a reality, whether that prison door was open or that pit that you came out of and you were running really hard, eventually maybe you gassed out, right? Maybe the comfortability of what was left behind starts to sink in a little bit more. And you needed people to remind you of your true purpose, the reason why you left there in the first place. And that's what I believe the church is. And so as we get ready to prepare for tithes and offering, I hope that you guys would be reminded of that today. That more than just an obedience and a discipline and even just a depiction of an adoration to God, that you be reminded that it's also paving the way, that someone before you was faithful enough to give to the church, right? To give to equipping the saints so that way you could hear the word, that you could hear the living word of God. And so on today, as we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, I'm going to pray. But before that, I want to give just ways of giving. And so you can tap the card in front of you, and that would take you online. You can also give through, if you have Zelle with your bank, you can also give it that way as well. If you would rather give cash or check, there's a box in the back of the auditorium that you actually can go to, and there have some people back there that can direct you as well. If you do have the Church Center app, you can actually click on there, and there's a section in there that says give. If you click on that, it'll actually take you through the process of how you can give. Hey, I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to put a couple things in front of you to put on your radar for the rest of this week. God, we come to you now. We thank you that we are not what has happened to us, and it's because of you that we are reminded of that. I thank you for what you're doing with the saints right now, not only in Freedom Church, but just in this world, that are reminding others of who you are and whose we are. God, I pray that today as we give, I pray that it is out of obedience, but I also pray that it's with an attitude of gratitude and with the posture of joy, God, and that we know that we are paving a way for others to hear your word, your truth that can set others free, God. And we give all these things. Let them be a sweet aroma unto you. In your name we pray, and we love you so much. Amen. Hey, if you are new here, we welcome you. We are so thankful that you are here, because maybe Sunday is easy, you know, as we come into the spring, it's a little bit easier. You kind of want to wake up, get that coffee, get that walk in, just open up the shades and just kind of enjoy the day. But maybe Friday, maybe Saturday is really hard for you. Maybe there's something going on in your life that would hinder you from actually wanting to come. So I'm thankful that you made an effort to come here. If you're a teenager, maybe you actually were just told to come here. Maybe you're like 5 or 6 years old and your parents just woke you up. But you're here, and we're so thankful that you're here. And because of that, we just want to give you a token of our appreciation. If you were to go back to the connection point, we will actually give you a little gift. And also, you can scan the QR code, and there's a connection card on there that you can fill out just so we can get your information. That way we can continue to let you know what's going on at Freedom Church. Next, we have Next Steps. So Next Steps is actually right after this service. Involved or find out more about what's going on at Freedom Church, how you can get connected. Also, meet Pastor Eric, meet Rachel, meet some other people that are in the church. And if even for whatever reason, if you're like, hey, I don't even know what Next Steps is, I don't necessarily know if I even want to hear more about it. It's so important that we collectively come into community, because we are ripe for a fall when we isolate. And I really want you guys to know that, because it's so important that you don't leave here holding on to the same schemes and lies that you might have came in with. And maybe that collectively as a family or individually, I really urge you to come afterwards, you get some lunch, maybe stay away from that donut you was maybe thinking about, right? Because he put in that seed in you earlier. Stay away from that donut and stay after and get to know some people, even if it's not for lunch. But it's a great way to just get to know other people in the church as well. And lastly, I leave you with this. This is water baptisms, March 22nd, okay? And if you want to know more information about that, you can scan the QR code. But bottom line, water baptism is an external declaration of an internal decision, and you accepting the Lord into your life. So whether you've been walking with the Lord for years, and maybe you've never done that, maybe you did it when you were younger, and you're like, I don't remember actually making that declaration. This is a great way to get some information and actually make that declaration. And if you are new to the faith, this is a great way to get some more information. Not only Pastor Eric, but there are other people here that would love to talk to you more about baptism and just talk to you overall about life. Get coffee, get lunch, just do life with one another. I'm going to pray, and I hope you guys have a wonderful, beautiful, lovely day. God, we come to you now, and we thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you for being the owner of it. Thank you for your faithfulness, and because of that, Lord, we get to know our true purpose in life. We get to walk, Lord, no longer bounded, no longer in lies and schemes, but Lord, we get to live freely. And in living freely, Lord, I pray that you would continue to lay the next step, lay the next brick that you have us to walk in, God, and that we continue to walk in purpose, continue to walk with meaning, continue to walk with value. Thank you for everyone gathered here today. I pray for those that are even online, God, I pray that they would be connected into community as well, that they would not feel ashamed, not feel alone, not feel isolated away from you, but that they would get to know you more. And we give all these things up to you, God. Thank you for loving us first. Amen. You guys have a great Sunday, and we'll see you next week.